God's laid something on my heart, and I'm not kidding you. He changed my message this morning because of somebody that came here this morning, and they were asking for help. My microphone, there it is. They were asking for help, and they just wanted somebody to listen to them. And boy, I tell you what, the devil's fighting me in everything this morning. Anyway, they came and wanted some advice, they wanted some help, and wanted us to pray about a situation that's in their life and their family. And I was on my way this morning, and I wasn't satisfied with the message that I felt like God was... yesterday, I felt like God wanted me to preach. I got up this morning, I wasn't happy about it. Came on the way over here, I wasn't happy about it. And I was actually upstairs studying for something different and was asking God to lead me. And my wife said, so-and-so is here and wants to see you, needs to talk to you. And I went, man, I need to study. And I didn't know it was of the Lord. And when I met with so-and-so, it was one of those situations where when we got done, God said, see? See? And I said, si, Señor. That's how it was. I'm actually going to do something I don't think I've ever done before. I'm going to preach a message that I just preached yesterday. I just did it yesterday. I've never done that before that I know of. But as is with Scripture, you can have a verse of Scripture or a passage of Scripture or an outline of Scripture and preach it 20 different ways in a week. Because that's how God's Word is. Amen? That's how it is. And there's just so much light and so much depth and so much goodness in this book that there is no other book. You and I are gathered here today not because we are the same type of person, not because we are all part of the same family. In other words, we're not cousins, we're not aunts and uncles and things like that. You and I are gathered here today for one reason and one reason only, and that is this book right here has brought every one of us together this morning. Can I hear you say amen? And so this morning, I'm going to re-preach a message, and I've got some things added to it this morning, and I'm going to preach what I think God's telling me to preach. I'm going to skip over what I think God's telling me to skip over. But there may be somebody else here, or there may be somebody else listening to this message that is going through something in their life where they don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn, and they don't have anyone to listen to them, to hear them out in their cause or in their fears or whatever it is. One of the things that I do as a pastor of people is that I get called aside from various people from time to time, and they say, Brother Mike, can I talk to you for a minute? Sure thing. Let's go to my office. And we go to my office, or maybe we'll sit out here, we'll just kind of get away from everybody. And they'll pour their heart out to me. They'll tell me things that nobody else knows about them. They'll tell me things that not even their husband or their wife or their children or their mom and dad knows about them. It was this year that a 13-year-old girl in our church texted me on a Saturday and said, "Can you pray for me, please? It's very serious. I don't know what to do." So I texted her back and I said, "What's the matter?" And she said to me, "Every time my mom leaves the house, my stepdad molests me." And I literally cried unto the Lord and I said, "God, no!" And I worked and did what I could to get that 13-year-old girl moved out of that house in with a family member so that she could be safe from that evil, wicked man. That's just the kind of stuff that pastors deal with. And I turned the guy in, by the way. I turned him in. And I'm glad that they took it seriously because they investigated it that day. They called me. I was surprised when the investigator called me back and said, "Now, where is this place?" And I told him where they were. And I said, "But for what it mattered, for what it means, I believe her." And he said, "That's good enough for me." And they took it seriously. And sometimes people ask me, "Why does this happen? Why does that happen?" I may not automatically know all the answers, but I know the guy that does. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says this. In fact, we don't do this very often because, you know, I run through so many scriptures. I want to ask you to stand one more time with your Bible. This is from actually the story of Ezra. And when Ezra opened up the book of the law to where he was going to read it, the Bible says all the people stood when he opened the book. And I mean, all he did was open the Bible. All he did was unroll the scroll and everybody stood up. So this morning we're going to stand and let's read this together. It's up on the screen. It's on your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Say it with me. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Aren't you glad? Say amen. Amen. Father, bless this message and help me preach it, God. I'm losing my voice already. My body's tired. My mind is tired. Lord, these people, dear God, they've come a long way. They need help in their journey of life. They need counseling. They need help and wisdom from you. I pray, dear God, Lord, that once again, God, you would show us that there is nothing that is hopeless. Nothing is. Not as long as you're still God. And you're always going to be God. And Father, as long as we have your word available to us, as long as we're able to read it, hear it, handle it with our hands, the words of life, Father, as long as we're able to hold those words in our heart, God, we will always have the Counselor with us everywhere we go. We will always know, God, that things are going to turn out right. They're going to turn out okay. Because that's what the Bible said. And God, give us faith. Teach us to trust the Bible this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Before you turn around and tell somebody you're not mad at them this morning. Amen. All right. Now, you hold off telling me you're not mad at me till after the sermon, all right? After the sermon, if you feel like it, you can come up to me and say, "Okay, I'm not mad at you." If there's one question that I get more than any other question that being in the ministry is the question, why? Why? When a loved one dies, and he or she is very loved, we say, why? when a spouse is left, either the wife or the husband, when their wife or their husband dies and the person remaining is left without a spouse, they will ask the question, why? Why did God take my husband? Why did God take my wife at this time? Why did God take a member of my family? Why did God take away my friend? Why did God do this? And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't even pretend in many cases to even try to sound like I know the answer. Because in a lot of cases, I don't. I do know that when it comes to death, there's one reason why everybody that we know and love dies, and that is because of sin. The price of sin for us, even though we are saved, the price of sin for us is the fact that we have to deal with the loss of someone that we love dearly. My daughter said it earlier this morning, and this is what our family went through. My father had died in September of 2011, and then our granddaughter, my oldest daughter's first daughter, died 5 weeks after she was born because of a diaphragmatic hernia, which pushed up against her heart and lungs, and her heart and lungs didn't develop. And that was the baby that I decided to not get close to, but that didn't work because I was close to her already. She was my flesh and blood, and God made me aware of that. And it was a situation where I was not going to get out of mourning and weeping for her. And I went down into the woods one day with an axe, and I was just going to cut down every tree I could until I got tired enough to I didn't want to do it no more. And after the first tree, I stood there, and I yelled and screamed at God, and I hollered at God, and I said, "Why, God, why did you do this?" And pretty soon, God answered me in that still small voice. And I told God, I said, "God, you can have everybody in my family if you want them. They're yours." It'll hurt me to lose another family member. But I know for a fact that when it's their time to die, God's going to take them. They're not going to die a day before that. They're not going to die a day after that. They're going to die at the exact time God is ready to take them on home. And I have comfort in that. And how do I get that kind of comfort? Is that my Savior, in the five names that Isaiah gave him, his second name that he gave him was Counselor. I have a Counselor that goes with me everywhere I go. I have in this church people that I talk to get ideas about what to do. I have a wife who is pretty good at counseling me. I even have family members, children, my children, that tell me when they think something's not right or when something needs to be said to me or whatever. They come to their daddy and they counsel me because I can't do this by myself. This is too big for me. I can't do it all. And I'm glad that I have a counselor with me everywhere that I go. And I just want to instill in you this morning the joy and the beauty of having access to a book that literally does have the answers to every problem you will ever face in life, ever has faced in life, or are dealing with right now. The Bible has the answers to it. Somebody say amen. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed, they belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. This verse is telling you that, number one, everything that God is willing to reveal to us in this world is revealed to us in this book. And that, number two, it is our responsibility as parents to pass that down to our children. I mean, why do you think I'm here this morning? If God had not laid it on my mother's heart, not I tease her. My mother's no saint as far as, you know, how that word goes. But I call her Saint Judy every now and then. I say, "Saint Judy, pray for me." It's our little joke. But when God got a hold of my mother, He got a hold of all of her. And she gave up the old lifestyle that she lived. Eventually, she gave up the cigarettes. And when God saved her, He saved her to come to church during Sunday school, come to church during Sunday service, come to church at 6:30 on Sunday night, come to church at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, come to revival meeting Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and then go to a quarterly meeting every 3 months on a Saturday. That's how God saved my mom. And she instilled that into her son. And I don't lay out of Sunday school. I don't lay out of church. I don't lay out a Sunday afternoon. I don't lay out a Wednesday night. I don't just take time off. If God allows me to come, I'm going to come. I'm going to be here. God has these wonderful things that He is willing to reveal unto you. Why don't you put yourself in a place where He can reveal them to you? Somebody say amen. Psalm 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. You know what that verse means? God showed you the covenant that He made with all people, that Christ died on the cross for your sins, paid the penalty for your sins, rose again on the third day, and He stands next to His Father as our one and only adversary. Not adversary, advocate. Boy, I got that wrong, God. Sorry about that. As our one and only advocate between us and God, Jesus Christ the righteous. Psalm 3:32, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, but His secret is with who? The righteous. You say, well, I don't qualify for that. I'm a sinner. You're not a sinner in Christ. Your outer man is still a sinner, but the inner man in you sinneth not because it was born of God. Somebody say amen. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. Again, when you're in Christ, all of the sins that you committed don't count anymore. God doesn't hold them against you anymore. God does not give you double jeopardy anymore. If you are in Christ, you have been made righteous by the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. And that means that God does hear your prayer. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. This is what I was getting across yesterday and the night before. Somebody, John kept asking me, what's the theme for this weekend? And I kept saying, I don't know. I'm surprised he didn't make a big sign up and said, Homecoming 2023. The theme is, I don't know. Well, now I know. The theme is, I know. I know. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. I could probably end the service right now. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Do you know? And I mean, do you know that if you died right this minute, that you would be received by angels, carried to the throne of God, standing in front of the Most High God, being judged by Him and Him alone? Do you know beyond any doubt whatsoever that your sins are forgiven completely, totally, all the way, and that He would say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Do you know that this morning? And if you don't know that, today is your day to know it. We put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. God said in Isaiah 45, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. You know, I study a lot of secret societies and mystery cults throughout the world, throughout history. And you know where a lot of them meet? In caves, in caverns, in dark places, places with no sunlight, places with no outside access, places where they can do everything in secret. And God says, if you want to hear from Me, then get out of the darkness and get in the light. Amen. Because what I say in the light. I don't give you dark sentences that you can't understand. I give you words of light that you can't understand. Amen. And you say, well, I don't know. I just can't understand this Bible. Read it again. See how easy that is? I guarantee you, you read it again, God will give you some light. I said, not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye Me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Deuteronomy 30:11. And by the way, let me go back to this. I have a responsibility. It is a serious responsibility. It is a heavy responsibility. And I just thought of this when it says, I, the Lord, speak righteousness, I declare things that are right. I have a responsibility. If anybody comes to me, no matter what the issue is, my responsibility is to tell them the truth. Whether it stings them or not. Whether it's going to hurt their feelings or not. I have to declare things that are right. This year, I had to confront a woman in our church in the lifestyle that she chose to live in. I did not want to do that. I didn't want to be part of it. But God put it in my lap, and I had to do something, and I had to say something that I didn't want to say. But it is in my responsibility to say things that are right. I could have pacified the situation and said, oh, God will take care of it. It'll be okay. I'm going to have to answer for that one. That's my nature. That's what I want to do, but that's not what I'm supposed to do. I have to declare things that are right. And so do you, by the way. Deuteronomy 30, you know what that means on your part? That means when God starts dealing with you about your sin, that you don't try to play some kind of little game, word game with God. As if you can catch God in a loop, or what am I trying to think of? Huh? Yeah, a loophole. You're trying to catch God in a loophole out of His law. That's what the Jews did, and Jesus nailed them for it. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven, and bring it unto us, that we may hear and do it. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John. If you already know that verse, 1 John 1:1, then you don't have to turn to it if you don't want to. You can be lazy if you want. But turn to 1 John. Right before Jude, right before Revelation. 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. The first epistle general of John, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. You are holding something that God did not hide away from you. He did not keep it a secret from you. He gave you the whole counsel of God. Have you ever heard of that verse? The whole counsel of God is sitting right there in your lap. The answer to every problem and situation and sin in your life is handled right in that book right there. Deuteronomy 30, verse 13. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. And all the years I've been pastoring, I've seen people that during an invitation time, they would fight and wrestle with God. They would tell God no, and I could see it in them. I could see it that they were wrestling with God, that they didn't want to give in. They loved their sin, they loved their lifestyle, they knew that they would probably have to give it up, and they didn't want to. So they weren't about to yield to God and give their life over to God, because God would take away their alcohol or take away their drugs or take away their pornography or take away their adulteries or anything else that people get caught up in, that they were afraid that God would take that away from them, and they didn't want it gone. Woe unto them. The very words that you speak to ask God for salvation is very near unto you. In fact, you're holding it in your hand. For all the sin that comes short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all those other verses that we tell people when they need to be saved. They're right there in front of you. You will not have an excuse when you stand before God and say, God, well, I didn't know that part of the Bible. Isaiah 48:16, come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I, and now the Lord and Lord God and His Spirit has sent me. Now I want you to notice that I've underlined the phrase, come ye near unto me. The best way in the world to really hear God is it to get as far away from God as you can, or is it to get very, very close to Him? How did the Spirit of God speak to Elijah the prophet? In a still, small voice. It wasn't a whisper. It was a voice about like mine. And if you can't hear God's voice, maybe you need to take a few steps in His direction so you can hear it. Maybe you need to turn off TikTok forever. You know where I showed you that testimony before Congress yesterday? You know what one of those congressmen said? He said it on the congressional record that you shouldn't. He said, I see UFOs all the time showing up on TikTok. He said, you know that app that was developed by the Chinese communist government to spy on Americans? He said that. You shouldn't have it. Get rid of TikTok. Get rid of Netflix. Get rid of... And I'm not saying these are all sinful and you shouldn't have them. What I'm saying to you is that these have taken over in your life. You won't hear from God because you're too busy binge watching things. John chapter 18, verse 20, Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. You know what I'm glad for in this church, Gary? I'm glad that we don't have closed door, behind closed door sessions where only the elite of our church are welcome to come and we teach the real secret doctrines of our church and the other people, we don't even let them know that we have them. You know what? We don't have secret meetings. We don't have secret sermons that I put behind a firewall on the internet and you have to show me your credentials and pay $100 a week. Now, I'd make you pay $500 a week. That's how greedy he is. Yeah. We don't have anything like that, do we? Jehovah's Witness do. You ever seen windows in a Jehovah's Witness hall? They don't have them. They don't have them. And I've been in one time because God sent me to apologize to a lady and I ended up in the wrong Jehovah's Witness building. But I saw in there, they had a table and chairs up on the stage and what they do, what I was told they do, is that they rehearse how they're going to con people into being Jehovah's Witness. They don't want anybody to know that. They don't want anybody to see it. They do things in secret so nobody knows what they're really there for. And I believe that when God lays it on your heart to witness to somebody, don't go to them in a pretense. Don't go to them and say, you know, I just feel like asking you how the weather is today. How's the weather going today? How's your family doing? Okay, that might be nice for a warm-up. That's not the reason why you're there. Be honest with people and say, you know what? I'm concerned about your soul. You never know what God might be doing in that person's life. And when you say those words, they may break right there in front of you and say, I am too. I've seen it happen. I've had it happen. Daniel 2:22, He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. And some of you have a problem with being in the light in your everyday life. I didn't say on your Sunday life. I said your everyday life. You have a problem with being in the light because you don't want to be in the light. When certain things are tugging at your flesh, you want to be in darkness. Well, I'm here to tell you that just one glimpse out of this old King James Bible and lights will turn on. And listen, some of you, who in here has been to a church where they took out the lights over the congregation and everything's dark? Raise your hand if you've been to that church. Look at there. Why do you think they did that, Steve? Huh? I think it's more spirit. That's what they said. That's not what it is. I think they love darkness rather than light. I think they do. And they've taken the light, and symbolically, by removing the lights out of the congregation, they've taken the light away from those people. And you're right about that, to focus their attention on the people on the stage. But that's not who you're supposed to be focused on. While I'm standing here preaching to you, hopefully the Holy Ghost is whispering or talking to your ear and quoting scriptures that I have not even thought of. Dealing with things and issues in your life that I have no idea what's going on. Why? Because you're in the light this morning. Daniel 2:30, "But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sake that shall make known the interpretation of the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart." I'm going to ask you another question. Who in here has a loved one, somebody you love dearly, and you know for a fact that right now, if they died today, they would be in hell lifting up their eyes? How many of you have somebody like that? Raise your hand. Now, when we're given light from God, wisdom from God, knowledge from God, counsel from God, it will start out being for us, but it's not supposed to end up being only for us. It's to end up being for the people that we don't want to go to hell. And God will shine light to us and then through us to somebody else. That's what that verse is saying. Daniel's saying, it wasn't for my sake that God gave me the interpretation of this dream and the dream. He did it for your sakes and the kingdom's sake. You know what Daniel did? He did a favor to the magicians, the astrologers, and the necromancers, and whoever that King Nebuchadnezzar confided in and was his counselor. Daniel did them a favor because Daniel came up with the interpretation, and that meant that the rest of the guys wasn't going to get their heads chopped off. I'm just saying to you this morning, if you'll let the light in, and you'll let God work in you, and you'll let God's Word in your heart and in your life, I guarantee you the people around you will see a difference, and they'll be coming to you saying, "Man, I need you to pray for me. I know you go to church. I need you to pray for me." How many of you have ever had that happen? Raise your hand. Isn't that something? I'm telling you, there's nothing better than that. Amos 3:7, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants the prophets." And all of His prophets are already recorded right here. Don't trust in these latter-day prophets. Don't trust in these people who dream dreams. Don't trust in these people who think they know something from God that's not the Bible. You trust what's in this book and only what's in this book. Matthew 13, "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake He not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." I'm going to tell everybody what the secret is. And all you have to do is open up the pages of your Bible and believe what's written there. That's all you have to do. Did you know that the universe is not 13 billion years old? Did you know that? Now, how do I know that? Bible. And I am just stubborn enough. I don't care what evidence they come up with. And by the way, in all of the evolution so-called evidence that these people come up with, they have never, ever, ever, ever seen a species in transition phase going from one form to the next over the course of a million years or whatever. They've never seen that. They just see this species and then that species, and they assume that this one came from that one, but they don't have any of the change species in between them. Doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in the human realm where we came from monkeys and Cro-Magnon man and all that other junk. It doesn't exist. You're the one who holds the secret. Now let me preach, okay? You're the one that holds the secret of eternal life to somebody who needs to hear it. Speak it to them. Well, they might get mad. If they get mad at God, what is that to you? Give it to them in love. And I promise you, somebody along the way will say, thank you for what you said to me. There's nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither anything kept secret that should it come abroad. Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets. Look at right there. The scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. It was always in God's plan that the scriptures and the scriptures alone were going to reveal God's plan to mankind. Only the scriptures. Not some book by Herbert W. Armstrong. Who remembers that guy? Not some book by the Mormon church. Not some treatise by the Jehovah's Witness. Not by some nonsense out of the Catholic church. It was the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, and the Bible that tells mankind what mankind needs to know. Amen. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. This is why I don't like to take the credit for anything. Because the power was of God all along. And nobody in this building knows it more than me. Nobody does. I know where I've been. I know what I've been guilty of. I've been with me my whole life. And I know what kind of person I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I know that everything that comes out of me that's good came from the power of God and nothing else. And anything good that comes out of you will come from the power of God. And where is God's power located? Is it a pill? Is it some magic potion that we drink? No. It's reading the book. What happens? I think I'm going to close with this. What happens when concrete or asphalt, like on a driveway or a sidewalk, what happens when that gets a little crack in it? What happens? Right, but what? Yeah, weeds come out of it. What's happened is a little crack opened up, and a little bit of light came in, and a little bit of rain came in, and that's all it needs. That's all it needs. And all of a sudden, grass starts popping up out of there, as if by some magic spell, but we know it's not magic. We know that whenever they laid that concrete 100 years ago or whatever, whenever they poured that concrete sidewalk or that driveway or that asphalt or whatever it was, whenever they put that down, they know that without a doubt, some of the seeds of what used to be there remain there in the dirt. And you know what? They'll last there for hundreds of years. But all it has to do is a little crack open up, a little sunlight gets in, and a little bit of rain gets in, and all of a sudden, whatever seed was there, here it comes. Did you know that it's just that simple? Whether it's a problem that you yourself are facing, or it's a problem, an issue, or some sin that somebody you love is facing, all it takes is a little bit of light and a little bit of water. And the seed that was sown in their heart, it will grow out. And it will eventually take over. We know that, don't we? We know it eventually take over everything. And I'm here to tell you that the issues and the problems in your life, all they need is just a little bit of light and a little bit of water, because God has already sown the seed into you, hasn't He? It's already planted there, isn't it? And all it needs to do is for something bad to happen. Listen, I don't like church signs for the most part, because usually they say stupid things, but I saw one the other day. It made sense. It said, the only way miracles can happen is when catastrophe happens. Not bad. Not bad at all. The greatest revivals that you will see, that I will see, our church will see, America will see, the greatest revivals that will ever happen in your life or somebody else's life will be when they are broken and in need of help and strength, and they don't have it in themselves. All they need is just a little bit of crack in their life. Bust that hard shell open, and that seed getting a little bit of light, getting a little bit of water, all of a sudden, boom, it comes out, and they are a new person, and there's revival because there's something growing in them. Amen. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you would, to stand. Head bowed, eyes closed.